Hello everyone, and welcome to the Graps and Claps podcast, this time from the King's Head in Huddersfield. We've got Ben and Jeff here. Hello lads.
Hello.
God help us.
We're still hanging in there.
We are, yeah. We left Eddie Sideburns in Scotland.
We left him in Preston.
We did, on yeah. On the way to Scotland. What we're going to do is a review of Show 3 of PCW Road to Glory. But I tell you what, going home last night, I was just like, I just want my bed. I want my bed. I'm tired. I've had enough drink and food.
The show finished early enough that I could have actually got home, which would have been one thing, but I was well glad that the premiere was just there for me to go to.
Yeah.
And I got quite a decent night's sleep, to be honest. So.
What about yourself, Jeff?
I'd had enough. I've hit the wall, literally.
You two pretty much stopped drinking during the shows yesterday, hadn't you, as well?
It was, yeah, because I'd paint it all.
But yeah, but in a way, I was sort of glad that we didn't have so much.
Yeah, I'd be forcing it down, and I did some wall. I'd had enough. Hopefully the wrestling perked me up a bit. You know, but yeah, you don't have to go going hell for leather getting plastered all the time.
No, you don't.
That's what today's for.
One of the best things though, Jeff, Sainsbury's.
Sainsbury's, yeah. Thought, we'll get something for the train, you know, catch if you can. Went in, everything reduced is 20 pence. So bloody hell, I got 3 sweet and sour chicken meals and
which are usually about £4.50.
Yeah, and pack of sausages.
Yeah, 20p, yeah.
20p, yeah. And my can of Jack Daniels cost more than a fucking entire shopping thing. So, yeah. Did all right then?
Nah, we were good, weren't it? I got home about 12 o'clock in the end. Jeff was probably about the same.
Yeah, I've been in bed for 2 hours, at least 2 hours by that point.
Yeah. And back out this morning for Tidal, which we'll review on our next episode. But let's get into what happened on show number 3. Mr. Graham Pearce is in the ring, underway. As the crowd, I will say, more than treble the first
show. Yeah. They kept coming as well, didn't we? So the first show was 30 people.
Yeah.
Very disappointing. Second show was up to 50 people.
50, 60, weren't it? Yeah.
It looked like when we walked in, there was about 70 in. So it's still going on the upward trend. But then they kept putting more seats out and more seats out and more people kept coming in. And it was probably close to about 100, I think, by the time the show started.
Yeah. And I was
just under, I think.
I was like, thank God. Thank God, in a way. I mean, when I was speaking with Flooder, halfway through the show, he was happy with it and what have you.
Well, for British indie wrestling, that's very comparable to most British indie companies, to be honest.
Yeah.
Including the one we're going to see today.
Yeah. I think even my general overall thoughts when he asked us, and that, it was like, you know, even though like attendances had been down like the first couple of shows, the product's been good.
I would say so.
I think, obviously, when we're comparing the size of the crowds, it's the size of the venue as well.
Yeah,
53 degrees is a big fucking venue. So literally, it swallows everything up if you haven't got a big crowd, and it does make it look sparse. If you put that crowd in a smaller room, then it'll look full.
Yeah.
Especially with the way they've lit it as well, but obviously doing different lighting will cost even more to do.
The lights are shining bright, weren't they? So I knew that if you dim the lights, it makes it look more interesting.
Yeah. What we started off with was a non-title four-way special treat match, which was the PCW Heavyweight Champion Philip Michael versus Jarrett Diaz versus Michelangelo versus Mochizuki Jr. What did you think, Ben?
All action, decent match, I thought.
Mm.
Came out of the gates swinging. Didn't let up. I thought it was just the kind of way to open the show.
And they all got the shit in, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
There wasn't really any pauses in action or any awkwardness.
No.
I thought it was very good.
Dives to the floor at one point as well, which all looked.
Oh, Mochizuki Jr. did the RCI moonsault, didn't he?
Yeah.
He nearly killed himself on the steps. Another one, you know. It's scraping up with a spatula. Really fun, fast-paced, non-title match. I mean, Philip Michael won.
Yeah.
With his Phillips screwdriver.
He did, yeah.
He's got a lot in his toolbox and he's pulled that one out.
He does, yeah.
know, shit joke. I could understand why he went over as a champion as well, because usually with these non-title matches...
Oh, he booted Mochizuki in the cock, didn't he, as well?
In his limp penis.
Yes.
I can understand, usually with these non-title matches, it's going to build somebody up to come against a champion, isn't it?
Yeah.
But with these three wrestlers all being imports, it's probably a little harder to do.
Yeah.
Jarrett Diaz is someone I think looked really good this weekend. I think he's a star.
I was chatting with Eddie during the show, and he said none of these like Southern Grapp guys, any of the imports, have shat the bed. They've all...
Diaz is more kind of Philadelphia, kind of northeast kind of guy, but yeah.
But they've all brought something.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's definitely worth bringing in.
Next up, Road to Glory semi-final number one, which was Griffin McCoy, Top Guy Time, versus Jack Johnson from, you guessed it, Salford.
Where's he from? Did he say where he was from? I don't know.
What do we think of this one, Ben?
I thought it was a very strong match. Very good. I think Jack Johnson is coming into his own here. He's really impressed me this weekend.
Yeah.
From somebody that pretty much didn't have much of a name this time last year at all, anywhere in Britain, I think PCW showcasing him like this has made him come off really strong. And to be fair, he's lived up to it. He hasn't looked out of place. He hasn't looked like the guy that's just been pushed into this position. He's a really strong character. He's wrestling well. He's added his own little kind of personal character twists onto some of the moves and some of his actions in the ring, which looks really good, like forearms across the face when he's pinning people and things like that, and just little things that make him stand out that little bit more. So seeing him this weekend as pretty much one of PCW's top two or three guys, top home guys,
solidified.
Whereas previously I've only ever seen him as like a mid-card tag team guy.
Yeah.
Whereas this shows he's much more than that.
Jeff.
Yeah. I said on the last one, I really enjoyed his work. It's just a nasty little gritty.
Yeah. Nasty shit, isn't it?
I was just thinking in my head, like two-bit work.
A little bit.
But more of kicks and the stuff, and just being a general shithead rather than
being more
awful to the crowd as well.
More of an arsehole.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Proper good. And Griffin McCoy, can't say enough good things about him this weekend.
He's been great.
He's been
one of
the actual stars of the weekend, hasn't he?
He's got into it with the crowd, like interaction with the crowd, and just embrace being over here. I think that what a lot of them have done, who's come to PCW this weekend, have embraced the weekend.
He got a please come back chant at the end.
He did.
He said, "Don't worry, I'll be back."
Good stuff. He must have really enjoyed his night in the Golden Cross.
It sounds like some of them did.
He did. Ben put very strong bouts. I would tend to agree with that. Stepping away now from tournament action as we go into... Jack Johnson won with the London Dungeon.
I'm guessing it's got some kind of Salford-based name, but what could you call it? The Strange Ways.
The Salford Slammer.
Strange Ways is that way, isn't it? Strange Ways.
Yeah.
Strange Ways is not Salford.
it's sort of that way, out of the town. It's not in Salford, but it's kind of that way. It's nearest major prison to
the Salford. He's caught in with the Salford Crescent.
The Salford Crescent works, because it's like a bending it back. Yeah, okay.
There you go.
The Salford Crescent.
Stepping away anyway from tournament action, it's prime time. Jordan Kane versus the returning Tyson T-Bone. Any thoughts here, Ben? He looked well, did Mr. T-Bone?
It looks like he's been keeping himself in shape. Jordan Kane. I was a bit disappointed that they didn't make more of the fact that Jordan Kane had this big match with Philip Michael in the afternoon.
Yeah.
This big, almost, I guess it was... I thought it was supposed to be his kind of like his... almost like his coming out match, that he'd been toe-to-toe with the champion and he never gave up, and the fans were going to get on his side and stuff, but... He came out for the night show as if none of that ever happened. He was just back to being the default bad guy that was on the first show.
One thing I didn't think that were with him was his music.
I can't think what his music was.
It seemed like his music didn't fit, or it wasn't like a more moodier part. As he comes out, like...
A bit of swagger.
I still think he's got something. There's a bit of... There's definitely...
There's something there.
Yeah, there definitely is.
Yeah.
We've obviously seen this guy at the start of his career.
Yeah.
And I think that if he keeps it up, there's definitely things he can do in this business.
He's got the look and he's got the athletic ability. Like you say, it's just finding your character and finding your way in it.
I think that's the only thing, he's got that personality. He's got potential, definitely. T-Bone, you enjoy him, Jeff?
Yes. 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 Yeah, T-Bone, it's nice to see him back in a PCW ring, isn't it? It doesn't look like he's lost a step, even though you don't see him around as many advertised places as what he used to. Yeah, but still very, very, very good.
Yeah, he did. He was definitely in ring shape, wasn't he? He was still the perfectly, like, the competent pro wrestler. Like, he hadn't missed a step. He was there for everything. He was controlling everything. Yeah,
he's a capable veteran leading the lad through, and, you know, obviously helping him on his way.
Yeah. Jordan Kane grabbed the crucifix pin out of nowhere to score the three. You did put Ben Bowen looked to have him beat after a pile driver.
Yeah, he did.
He did like two brutal, impactful manoeuvres, one of them being pile driver as well. That's it, didn't you?
But then also just like your hooks out of nowhere, didn't he?
Yeah.
Fine.
Here we go.
Decent match.
Here we go. The fourth match of the evening.
Oh, God.
As it is our second tournament semi-final with the ever-popular Rossi Rascal, where we fought, versus the big bad kaiju, O'Shea Edwards. Wow.
Yeah.
I will go as far to say, Ben, as an experience, this is getting me up to about, if I was rating this, about 4.5 stars.
Well, this is what you come to these weekends for, isn't it? It's the things like this that kind of... we're going to explain how what happened, but the way it happened, because it's been built across the weekend and things. Match actually started with Rossi coming out, but then being attacked on the stage by O'Shea Edwards.
Yeah.
But then when he got to the ring, he got to the point where most of the crowd decided they were on O'Shea Edwards' side.
Yeah, it was an half and half battle.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
So the Rossi Rascal fan club with their fans and the banners and the air horns and all the signs and the chants and the singing on the other side, which normally everyone would go along with. But I think O'Shea Edwards has left such an impression on people this weekend that, and I think people realised that this was possibly going to be their last chance to give him a big cheer and things.
Well, it's like even before the match started, like when somebody was doing a beatdown and like O'Shea's there going, fuck off and fuck you. And it's like, O'Shea, it's a family show. Fuck that.
he just appealed to a lot of people.
He reminds me of a lot of his mannerisms and how, you know, some of the language he comes out with is Leroy off Curb Your Enthusiasm. Fucking hell, Larry.
it wasn't just the adults just picking him over the your classic hometown baby.
There were kids.
There were kids were cheering as well because I mean obviously you've got this guy that looks like your proper, I want to say TV wrestler that the kids will see on WWE and things, so they can relate to him compared to a lot of people as well. He's just this massive character that you just can't help but gravitate towards. And I think there was a bit of the fact that I think people do get slightly annoyed by the Rossi Rascal fan club as well, to an extent. So this was kind of like, it just naturally happened that there's this little pocket of Rossi Rascal fans, but it felt like almost everybody else, or at least everybody on the other side, was just massively against O'Shea. So there was chanting against each other. It was pure, natural pro wrestling heat.
Yeah.
This wasn't just cheer your favourite because that's what you're supposed to do. This is, you want to see your guy win and their guy lose. And so it wasn't just chanting at the wrestlers, it was chanting at the other fans as well.
Yeah.
It's all natural. It wasn't forced. It was just a natural reaction to what was happening, I think.
Literally, the full kit wankers are Rossi. Well, literally, you could see it in the faces. They were getting really fucking annoyed.
Yeah.
Everybody wasn't going with their hero. It was... weren't it? It was tension. It was tension.
Two sets of rivals. And as much as Rossi got booed and people chanting Rossi sucks and all this stuff, and chanting for O'Shea with his big, his bad, his body slam your dad, and he was dancing to it. As much as he was doing that, that was really getting like riled up. So that was wanting the Rossi fans to like really get.
And we were chanting to him like, it's all gone quiet over there.
When the horns just like died down because he was getting beaten, when they realised that their guy's, for once, is not the most popular guy in the room.
Yeah.
It's all gone quiet over there and stuff, and that's why the horns came back.
Yeah, not seeing me anymore, yeah. Then they went, they went to get another order in for some more fucking
neurons,
didn't they?
But then, I loved Rossi Rascal's, facial, reaction to it. Yeah. He's, scanning the crowd, looking around, looking like, oh my, like he played it really, really well.
Oh,
like,
he was
excellent. He was taking in there. All right,
I get it. I know it's spoiling the result, but getting into the main event where he come into the ring and he acknowledged three sides of the crowd.
Just completely ignored everybody else.
Yeah.
I know it's playing that way, but I think he was genuinely aggrieved. I really, really do.
I don't know. I think he was just playing it really, really well.
If he did it this way.
I think he got it.
If he got it.
Because he wasn't just ignoring people. Like if you were annoyed, you just ignore these people.
Yeah.
But he was actually looking. He's actually playing up to it. Like you people have cheered me all weekend. Why are you turning on me now? Type thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh my word.
He really did play. But what an atmosphere! What a match! Such great fun. People almost like living and dying with every move they did. Every advantage change was having massive cheers from one side or massive cheers from the other side.
There was a buzz at half-time after this match.
Absolutely. What is it?
I was almost just like, I don't know, cackling to myself. Yeah. Like, I can't wait for the main event.
And he knew his judo well.
Go and listen to episode 2 for more on that. Rossi Rascal ended up winning.
Yeah, he powerbombed him off the top. He got the thing, like Rossi Rascal was down on the mat, and O'Shea, this big dude, starts climbing to the second rope, and everyone's going, "Oh shit!" Then he steps up to the top rope, and everyone's like, "Oh shit!" And then Rossi manages to get up, get underneath him, ready to receive his limp penis, and powerbombs.
Yeah, because he did his hip on.
He did the hip on, and everyone kicked out.
Oh my word! Such a match of the weekend.
Yeah, mate. And it's because it built to that point over the weekend. Yeah, I think
Jeff, final thoughts on it.
What these weekends are made for? Just great experience.
Yeah, it was just the juxtaposition between the two sets of warring fans, where they're just like the ring divided them, weren't it?
Yeah.
And every time you looked around, there was more Rossi signs and fucking her horns and all sorts of clobber coming out, to show their support. It was like literally like a, like they have the Rossi Rascal Ultras or something, in an Italian football game. You just big fucking flag come out.
You can't deny, Jeff, that there's such a loyal fan base to him.
Of course. And absolutely.
It's great.
It's just so fun to cheer our guy. That's
and you know what? When he did win.
Oh. Yeah. So Rossi did win, and of course his fans went absolutely crazy, as they should. And Rossi personally almost thanked every single one of them. And then he turned to the other side of the crowd and he's like, "Everyone else," he said, thank you. "Everyone else, suck my balls." And he did like the crotch chop.
The DX crotch chop,
yeah.
And the old ubiquitous finger.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Perfect pro wrestling.
Yeah, it's perfect. That is pro wrestling. It's genuine reactions to what they're putting on for us to watch.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Second half now, with a tag team title match. It's Los Lancadores, which is Mr. B and the Mass Marauder, now just Marauder, versus the tag team champion, Big Steve Braddock, one half of the former Sausage Rolls, and...
Do you want to explain the story?
So the story is, like, in it where if he's had the same person twice...
Well, Steve and Axel Strife were the tag team, the Sausage Rolls, and they were the PCW tag team champions. But then Axel Strife has gone to go and live in Australia, so that's left Steve with kind of both belts.
Yeah.
But he's been allowed to continue to defend those belts with... like choosing new tag team partners.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if he successfully retains twice with the same partner, they become the permanent tag team champions.
Yeah.
But the gimmick here was that it's a mystery tag team partner, and the whole storyline was that they were hinting it was Axel coming back to join him. So, in fact, the storyline was that Steve thought it was.
His name begins with A.
And all this. He's travelled a long way to be here. So the story, everyone was supposed to think it's Axel Strife, but who comes out instead?
Alvin.
Liam Cafferty, who they call Alvin.
Yeah.
Who it turns out, apparently he'd stolen Steve's phone, changed his name to Axel in the phone, and so then Steve thought of arranging this tag team match with Axel, but it was actually with Liam Cafferty.
Yeah.
The fairy liquid baby.
what do we think of this, Ben? Or Jeff? Jeff?
This was a come down match, weren't it?
It had its place.
Yeah, I mean, if you were looking for a pure wrestling match, instead of like a fun comedy aside, you know, was some of the things what they were doing were all right. Some of them fucking terrible, but it is what it is. Probably these, like I say, similar in stature to some of the other wrestlers at the start of their careers. You know, they can only get better and improve, you know, with the amount of time they spend in the ring. But yeah, it didn't do it for me.
I'm not going to fault their place on the card at all. Because
they get a reaction.
They are very popular teams. Don't listen to us. We come to PCW maybe once, twice a year.
Yeah.
These people are going to, there's other people there that go to PCW every single month, and these are their hometown guys.
Yeah.
And they're getting massive reactions from some of these people.
Alvin does.
Yeah, they're well into that kind of Alvin. Alvin's one of their big top heels.
I will say with him, he's confident on the microphone. I will give him that.
Needs to change his... Is his look working for him? He looks very young, but which he is, I think.
Yeah.
But so that's only going to change. But there's... He looks like... He's very confident. He's got good presence. He knows how to handle himself in front of crowds and things.
Yeah.
But I just wonder whether... Does he look like he's playing a part at this point rather than... But it's as you say, he's young.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna fault people are well into this. Mass Marauders and Mr. B, they've got they're mainly LWF guys, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they were brought their kind of fan club and stuff with them. There was a lot of people that knew them.
Yeah.
They're very funny. I think those ideas.
There's Pop where he tries to tag him in and his mate, the Marauder, and just misses
on him. And then he turns around distracted by something, so he misses. Then he comes back and he does it again. There's good ideas, really good funny comedy ideas there. I thought they were fine.
Yeah.
Good comedy ideas. And this match had its place on a weekend like this. You don't want just like serious matches.
Yeah, because you're just tired out by the end, aren't you? You need a bit of light.
They'll all start blurring into one. You want something different.
Yeah, so it sort of breaks it up a bit.
Yeah, but some of the comedy, there was great ideas. They didn't always work in execution. I think some of the comedy acting and timing from some of the other people wasn't quite there for some of the stuff, which made it look a bit amateur hour. But there was some stuff, there was some really great ideas. And like I say, I'm not going to knock any of them for they're obviously doing something right.
Yeah.
These are popular people with the core audience, which isn't us.
Yeah. Big Steve and Liam argued all match, but somehow beat Los Lancadores to retain Steve's PCW tag team title. And after the match, Steve offers the sausage roll, innit?
Yeah, that's it. So he offers the sausage roll, because it's obviously... They are the sausage rolls, but he's trying to find a new partner in the tag team, the sausage rolls.
Yeah.
He's got his like Greg's based sausage rolls t-shirts and stuff, and he offers him the sausage roll. Liam Cafferty thinks that he's been inducted into the sausage rolls, takes a massive great big bite out of it, starts chewing, and then he gets the old Stone Cold Stunner.
Yeah, on 316 day.
On 316 day, spits the sausage roll all over the ring.
And they couldn't find a broom to sweep it up.
God, this went on for ages. This was a comedy of errors, because like... Graham Pierce gets into the ring for the next match, realises there's half chewed up sausage roll over half the ring. James Mason's probably saying, get that fucking sausage roll out of my ring. and so like Graham's like, can we get a broom for this, please? Someone get a broom. Someone come clean this up, please. Nothing. Anyone got a broom? No. Who's going to get a broom for this? No. He looks over the merchandise table. They're just like shrugging their shoulders, looking at it. Looks at the someone in the front row, he turns back to the stage to shout for one of the referees. Is anyone back there? Anyone back there can help with this? Anyone? And someone in the front row was like saying, there's Simon the ref. and he turns around, he's not there. There's so this like back and forth conversation between like the ring announcer and this guy in the front row. The guy in the front row that was convinced he saw Simon that could potentially help clean up this sausage roll.
Yeah.
Graham turning around and not seeing Simon because he wasn't there. And this went on for a couple of minutes. Like, oh, well, it felt like a couple of minutes. All while they were arguing about whether Simon was on the stage or not, nobody was cleaning up the sausage roll. Until it got Ernest Boggs came from the bloody hard cam, dived into the ring and just started picking it up with his hands. But this felt like it went on for an age.
Yeah, I agree.
Comedy of errors. It's one of those things that you see across a weekend, you know, that never make the TV, never make the video, but just funny.
So speaking of whose person the ring was, it was James Mason up next against Jaden Newman. This is one we were looking forward to. I think we said on the second episode, James Mason proper, you know, doing his like, we want more, shall I, the old shebang, status quo. Mm-hmm. Jaden Newman playing the Chattanooga chicken on the outside. Oh, he was great.
It was proper Team Mega Slam, Team Nasty type stuff, wasn't it? But based with international guys.
Yeah. Great stuff, Jeff.
Fantastic, yeah. James Mason, I know, wax lyrical about James Mason. He just never misses a beat. You know, he's been going for absolutely donkey's years. But yeah, some of the stuff he does, just, it's really, really good. You know, such an impactful, like, forward roll sort of slam thing as well.
But even when he's in, like, submission moves, he's like trying to gouge an eye on. Even when he's...
It's a meaning for everything he does.
Yeah.
There's a little mean, there's no wasted motion or anything like that. And that's obviously come from years and years and years of experience. And I think that's probably why Jaden Newman, if you look at his social, was looking for this match.
Oh, they are. I think they see James Mason as this... Well, him, Dean Allmark. They look up to this generation of people, don't they, as like... Well, inspirational, like influential.
Mm.
They know them by name and reputation. It's quite a thing to wrestle these people. It was fucking James Mason. He can shit. He must be getting up to mid-40s now, maybe.
Mid-40s?
Yeah, I think so.
Bloody hell.
But he can shift around that ring. He moves. He's exactly where he needs to be straight away. Ready for the next move.
Yeah.
Jaden Newman was absolutely meant to be like a pantomime baddie on these kind of British wrestling family shows. He's such a good character.
Yeah.
Start of the match, sorry, I'm hogging the conversation, but start of the match was Jaden Newman coming out doing his scowling at the crowd. Nicked a kid's lad's hat, threw it in the air, but James Mason really played up to this. Like, he like leaned over to the kid going, I'm going to get him for that. Don't worry, I'll pay him back for that. Don't you watch.
Yeah. And then when he got beat,
when he got beat, I remember him coming past us. Said, "You lads have never seen me win."
Every time.
I thought it was a great match. This really good match.
Yeah, it had all those kind of like that kind of family show pantomime pratfalls, but it was also a seriously good technical wrestling match as well.
Yeah,
the two just gelled really well.
Yeah, Newman won by the submission in that. Next up, semi last match, isn't it?
Yeah, second to last match.
Priscilla versus Cody Manhorn. I think it's just a bit of a nice come down match before the shenanigans in the main event. Not much to say here, really. But it was fine.
We've seen the Priscilla match three times this weekend or whatever it was. It's the same match every time now. The same spots, the same. You've broke my nails.
It must cost them a fortune in manicures, I tell you that.
So I mean, it's fun stuff. It works, but it's not the type of thing you can do three times to the same audience or whatever in the same weekend. Especially when you see it at other promotions as well. It's the same match.
Right.
Cody Manhorn.
He's embraced it as well. He enjoyed his chant.
What made it really work was you could tell he loved being in the UK.
Yeah,
and wrestling in front of this type of crowd and things. So that made it that kind of, you can see when someone is like, you can see it in them, you can feel it in them, and that kind of makes you enjoy the match as well. You enjoy it for them.
Priscilla won with the inside cradle, and before we get to the main, I would just like to comment my ginger. Pale ale was excellent.
Was it strong ginger or quite subtle?
Quite subtle taste of ginger, but like,
I had a ginger one in
that'd be a four
and
on tap.
It was awful.
Yeah,
really strong ginger. It was overpowering.
It's time for your main event.
Oh Oh God.
As we go to the Road to Glory final with Rossy Rascal versus Jack Johnson.
Who came out first?
Jack Johnson. What happened here? As we mentioned, the crowd participation. So our side of the crowd. Salford.
Trying to continuing on from the everyone turning on Rossy Rascal earlier in the show. Jack Johnson, who's been the biggest shithead heel the entire show, came out, and all of a sudden people were cheering for him. He walked out on the stage and he was like, "Yeah, Salford!" And he was like, you could tell he was not expecting that at all.
Yeah.
He walked back to the backstage again, came out again, and they did it again.
Yeah, and it was literally anti-hero stuff.
Yeah,
it was. It's like we think you're a shit, but
we prefer you over. We want to see
you win more than Rossy Rascal.
And he wasn't happy. He was a little corner section where he was literally. I thought he was getting a bit fucking naughty.
Yeah,
you know, because he's there like, shut up! I'll fucking have you. You fucking marks. You fucking rats and all this.
Yeah,
and got right in that guy's face.
What are you doing, Specky? You're ruining it. You're ruining it, Specky. You're a mark.
You're a rat.
Do something. Do something, Specky.
Yeah, then he got in the ring and he's walking through the ropes doing the same thing.
Yeah,
and I thought this is. In a way, blurring the lines, you know what I mean?
That's what turned it around. Because in that situation where the fans had naturally chosen him over Rossy Rascal, he made them naturally dislike him by going back to being taking it to the next level of being this detestable little shit. And it worked. It worked.
Apart from
a little whole pocket of holdouts in that corner that he.
We got chanting for Rossy again, didn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, my word. You had the ref bump with Simon. No ref coming in.
Oh, well, the ref bump with Simon. And the other ref... I'm going to talk about the other ref. The other ref was just, like, stood there, in plain view of the entire audience, just stood there, just, like, chatting to somebody, watching the show. Didn't make a move. At least hide behind a column or something.
I mean, he was hiding in plain sight because everybody was looking for a new referee. But on his fleece, he had referee.
he's got a personalised referee fleece that he walks. That he doesn't obviously wear to the ring, but he wears when he's like walking around the venue. It's got his name.
Off duty.
Yeah, he's got his name on the front with referee, and then on the back it says, well, I think it's supposed to say referee, but what does it say?
Referee.
In massive great big letters, referee.
He probably got a discount on it.
But I will say he did a good job as well.
He did do a good job in the main event when he was just stood there watching it, in plain sight of the entire audience. Everyone could see him. They were chanting for him to get in the ring, and he wasn't.
No, no.
At least go and hide.
It was the third person to point to the wrist, you know, about his instinct, guy time.
His instinct should have been to go and hide behind a column or go to the toilets or something like that. Because he was drawing attention to himself by being there and not doing anything.
No, I'm off. I'm finished. I'm done.
Clocked off, yeah.
He's a flutter, another tenner.
The finish. Well, we thought Rossy had tapped out, but the ref was down.
That was odd. Yeah, that's normally a heel thing, isn't it? Normally the heel taps out when the ref's down.
Yeah.
But Rossy tapped out. So Jack Johnson was, cheated.
So it ended up with the Super Judo for the victory. Rossy Rascal, as you put, right in the wrongs of last year where he got beat off Philip Michael. It was sat at ringside.
He came out before either of them, sat at ring, picked a chair. He picked a broken chair to start with. Then someone had to go and give him one that had a back on it.
And then they had the face off, and then Jack Johnson said, because he won the Who Dares Wins Rumble, let's make it a freeway sometime. He didn't. No, he said he wanted to take his title shot now. And then he said, I'm not doing it in front of the people of Preston, they're all assholes.
Got a point.
So, that was your main event. What a
worthy main event. The right two people, I think, overall got to that main event.
Yeah, definitely.
As much as Road to Glory is about the imports, I like the fact that it was two of the home stars that had the big match.
Three home stars in the main.
Yeah, it was.
In the main angle at the end.
I think I said to you, obviously last year the final was Rossy against Philip Michael, and Philip Michael won, breaking the Rossy Rascal fan club's hearts. this year, Philip Michael is now the heavyweight champion, and he was sitting watching it. He sees Rossi Rascal win this to become the number one contender. So yeah. Those two had the big stare up. They are the Rock Austin of 2024 PCW.
Yeah.
Well, 2023, 2024 PCW.
Yeah.
The top stars. Jack Johnson's there or thereabouts as well. He's good. Yeah.
You enjoy it overall, Jeff?
Yeah, it built to a logical conclusion, didn't it? You know, we've literally got three ways of doing the belt now instead of two, you know, and they're all credible. Two are credible challengers, and obviously Philip Michael the champion.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it, and it obviously progresses storylines as well.
Yeah. Overall, as a weekend,
loved it.
Yeah. Loved being back.
As disappointed as I think people will probably point to the low crowds and things and on nights one in the afternoon and almost take the piss, but you know what? The shows were good wrestling shows. Once those shows started, I cannot fault them. There was noise, there was interaction.
I think as Flood has said to us, the thing that's good about our shows is variety.
Yeah. All the imports put in a shift. Every single one of them was worthy of a place in the plane. I thought it was a really, really fun weekend.
And
it's
also, regarding imports, it's names you don't see everywhere else.
Yeah.
It'd be people that you could go away from going, I'll search out what he does elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, back in America, et cetera, et cetera. And I think I probably will do. It's always something Flood has had a good eye and an ear for.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, these up and coming stars bubbling under somewhere, and you know.
I don't know if he knows them or whether he just takes a punt on some of these people or they're recommended to him. Mm. But you're right, it's not like your top level indie stars, it's like your next level kind of like on some of these, bouncing around on some of those IWTV type promotions, isn't it? That, like GCW undercard type stuff, those type of people. And every single one of them was like I say, was worth their place.
And
the
it's a win-win for both of them, isn't it? I mean, obviously. You know, they're getting the experience of working abroad, you know, different crowds, etc. It's an experience for them as well.
Yeah. And I think they all enjoyed it, didn't they? Excellent. Really did.
Well, as much as we did, because it was, a really fun weekend. It delivered everything that I wanted to. And I'll be back for next year's
Always delivers. Always delivers.
I'll be back for next year's Road to Glory, if not before.
I think probably go to one of them Leighton Institute shows again. Easily. Maybe the Flag Market show.
It's a long way for me, but if that lines up with something else, I would probably do that. Yeah. That's a great, I like that venue when Odyssey Pro ran it.
And the next show's nearly sold out.
Yeah.
And they've got Philip Michael against Jaden Newman and O'Shea Edwards against Big T.
Do you reckon you're going to have a last minute trip to Blackpool?
No, I'm skint. But on any other weekend earlier in a month, I probably would go to that. That O'Shea Edwards a Big T match. Whoa. Look it to me veins.
O'Shea going as a smaller man.
It is. Can he body slam the Big T?
You'll have to find out on the Leighton Institute next weekend on the 23rd of March.
Yeah.
There you go.
But there you go. That's PCW Road to Glory done with. Excellent output from them, lads.
Worth going.
Yeah. And I think Eddie really enjoyed his time. He was in fits of laughter, Annie.
He's made more of an effort to get here than any of us did, and he went away enjoying himself, so you can't say more than that, can you?
Yeah. Happy days. So there you go. Cheers, Jeff.
All right.
Cheers, Ben.
Thank you very much.
Cheers for this weekend. One more to go.
Let's do it.
Well, we'll probably be in a much unhappier mood, probably. Yeah, well, who knows?
You're prejudging.
I'm prejudging, but there you go. Thanks very much, everyone, and goodbye.